Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Watchman as we continue with our study of the Word of God, Bible prophecy, and on top of that, everything that we believe that God wants us to know in this time and season. I'm joined, as always, with Evangelist John Paul Akena, and we are going to be digesting on something which we touched on last week, but which I want us to expound on because I've been feeling led to go in this direction. Now, we're reading from 3 John. We read the scripture last week, the third epistle of John, verse 2, which says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, I wish you knew how important this scripture is for a moment like this, because it's very important for all of us, first of all, to prosper and then be in good health. Now, those two are so important right now because there's going to be an attack on health, which the enemy has planned to create a dependency on systems that he has control over, systems in regard to the worldly systems and so on, that he has control over. And I was seeing some of the things that they intend to do going forward as they try to squeeze and get more and more control, is to make sure that nobody actually can even get medicine without, the approval of the New World Order. That's where it's heading ultimately. Mm-hmm. It might not get there right now, but that's where it is heading ultimately. So in light of that, it's so important for all the believers to be in good health and also to prosper, so that when you prosper, you are not dependent on their financial system. You're dependent on a financial system which is governed by God. And I'm going to tell you a bit about that today. Now, the financial system of the world runs on two things.
Mm.
It runs on buying and selling.
Mm.
So everybody buys and sells. That's how the financial system of the world works. Even those who have a job, let's say if you are a lawyer for somebody, you bought that knowledge by paying for school and going to law school and learning.
Yes.
And now you're selling your knowledge to a client who needs it. If you're a doctor, it's the same thing. You bought that knowledge by going to school and studying.
Mm.
Now you're selling that knowledge to a hospital, to perhaps to a clinic, or even to a specific client. So it's all buying and selling. That's how it works. Now, the kingdom of God works on something different. Its principles are completely different. But we'll talk about that a bit later. But now, I want us to first expound on this scripture. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I want to read that in a different translation.
Mm.
But first of all, how do you break down that verse as I look for a different translation?
Okay. What I see in this, it's saying that your prosperity is equivalent to how your soul is, the capacity, what you can contain in your soul. And that's what this scripture is actually really trying to bring out, to show everyone that your prosperity and your good health is equivalent to what you carry, what you can contain in your soul, is how your soul has prospered.
Now,
yes.
The reason I wanted a different translation, now I'm reading from the New King James.
Yes.
Now I'm reading from the King James, which is this an important part which was left out in the New King James. The old King James says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." Now, he's giving it total preeminence. He says, "I wish above all things." Now imagine the Lord is saying this to you, because this is the word of God.
Yes.
And he's saying, "I wish above all things that you may prosper." Now, this New King James, of course, twisted it a bit and said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." No, no, no.
Yes.
He says,
I wish
above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. So now I felt that the best version in regard to this scripture is actually in regard to almost every scripture.
Yes.
Is the King James Version.
Yes, yes.
Because most people, while of course sometimes I avoid it because I prefer the modern English to the prospereth and all that, but I think in my opinion it is the one I trust the most to give the best translation.
Mm.
So it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers."
Yes.
Now what he's saying, I wish above all things, that means as far as he's concerned, It's the most important thing, that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, you were saying that that means that the prosperity and the extent of health that you enjoy is always going to be dependent on
Prosperity of the soul.
The prosperity of the soul.
Yes.
Now, that leads to the next question. How does the soul prosper? How do you prosper the soul?
Yes. Of course, our soul is prospered by the knowledge, by the information, and by what we have always gathered and supported and believed in the soul. Yes.
Okay, now, I know one thing, that the soul has food.
Yes.
There is food for the soul.
Yes.
There is food for the body.
Yes.
Okay, and there is food for the soul.
Mm.
Now, the soul has food, and this is very, very important, because without food, you cannot prosper.
Yes.
The body cannot prosper. You become stunted and you will not grow. Now, also, the soul has food without which it cannot prosper.
Yes.
And now that means if it does not prosper, then that means you will also not be in good health, at least in the commensurate health that the Word of God expects you to be in.
Yes.
And that means you will also not prosper in, you know,
yeah,
financial and in all other areas of your life. And remember, it says in the scripture, I wish above all things.
Yes.
Now imagine God saying, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now that means he has put an emphasis on it.
Yes.
It's very important. Now, I want us to go ahead and say, what is the food of the soul? Now, because if the soul prospers, then you prosper. Now, that means that then your health prospers. That means that you should concentrate on prospering your soul.
Yes.
Now, what is it that actually prospers the soul? What is the food of the soul? First of all, the soul needs a word.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, you can, if you are at any one time moving in this world and you do not have a word that you're depending on, like that you're thinking about, a word of God that you're thinking about, your soul is not prospering.
Yes.
It's not feeding.
Yes.
Your soul needs a word. Your soul needs
A song.
A song.
Yes.
And your soul needs
a purpose.
A purpose.
Yes.
Now, those are the three things that your soul absolutely needs.
Mm.
Now, when you have those three, your soul is going to prosper.
Yes.
And that means the other parts of you will prosper.
Yes. Mm. Now, there is this scripture in James 1, 21, which says that, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Okay. Powerful scripture.
Yes.
Now, here it says, so the soul needs a word.
Yes.
The thing, though, is that the soul always has a word. The question is, does it have a word of God?
Yes.
Because, you see, there are people who will listen to the word of God and they are very dispassionate about it. They are very, you know, lukewarm about it.
Mm.
So they will go to church, let's say, and they listen to a good word of God, or go maybe for somewhere, fellowship, or whatever it is.
Yes.
Or even get their Bible and read the word.
Yes.
And they do not attach any passion to it.
Yes.
And so it is quickly snatched away from their soul.
Yeah.
That then, when you go and tell that same person that, you know, Akena, the other day I was listening to Kableta and he said ABC about you and he said you're fake and what, now they will get that word and feed their soul with that word because they will attach passion. Then they will say, how could he say this about me? How can he do this? How can he say this? And imagine I even trusted him. Now,
yes,
you're feeding your soul, but with negativity.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
Yet, actually, on the other hand, there is somebody who will hear and say, can you imagine what they said about you? Then you say, I don't even want to know what they said about me.
Mm.
I am busy meditating on a powerful word of God.
Yes.
In that regards something that I really want to see in my life. Okay.
Yes.
And then they will close out a lot of things and then they will attach passion.
Yes.
To a word from God, a word of God.
Yes.
That ministers to something they want to actually see happen in their lives.
Yes, yes.
For instance, if their problem was, like, let's say, sickness,
you
can actually close out everything else and read, listen to the word of God that speaks to health, speaks about healing.
Mm.
And you feed your soul with it, and your soul is full of it.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you'll wake up one day when that sickness is not there.
Yes, yes.
Because your soul has been filled with a word concerning healing.
Yes.
Now, the trouble is that you'll hear a word concerning healing and then you treat it casually, you know, flippantly.
Yes.
Then when you go and you hear a word regarding what somebody said about you, or maybe politics.
Yes.
Can you imagine this government doesn't care about the roads in Kampala, or they don't care about the people of Northern Uganda? Then you become passionate, and then for 1 week, one whole week, you're thinking about how the government does not care about the people of Northern Uganda. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying it doesn't. And then you don't realize that after you've been thinking about what the government has done or not done to the people of your area, after the week, nothing about you will have changed.
Yeah.
Whereas if you spent that same week
with
the same passion, meditating on your prosperity, even financial, I can assure you, you would finish and something has changed in your life.
Yeah.
Now we have the decision on how we prosper in life. Now this is very important, because remember what God told Joshua, that think about these words, meditate on them, put them on your doorposts, hang them on your beds.
Yes.
I'm now giving other things. Put them on your fridge.
Yes.
Put them on some. Make sure everywhere you see, everywhere that you are looking at them. Put them in front of your face.
Yes.
And then he says, so shall you make your way prosperous. Not God. It is you. God says, for me, I've given the word.
Yes.
Now, this is going to be very important for what we are going to talk today. God says, I have given you the word. Now, as he told Joshua, these words of the law, which he gave Moses, and said, now, just your duty, if you want to make your way prosperous, your duty is simple, very simple. Just make sure these words never depart from you. Just make sure they are the ones you're talking about.
Yes.
At your dinner table, you're talking about them. When you're outside, you know, around a fire, you're talking about them.
Yes.
Then he says, that way, automatically, your way becomes successful.
Yes.
Everything you do becomes successful automatically. Now, that word is still so powerful today. Now, that's how your soul prospers, the first thing.
Yes.
It needs a word.
Yes.
A word, you can choose whichever word. For instance, a word concerning prosperity, because that's one of the things that we are going to be talking about in the consequent weeks. A word concerning your financial status.
Yes.
Okay? Now, there was a time long ago when I'd read everything about finances and, you know, sowing, reaping, and all those things. But then I was wondering why, and I was trying to do what I was supposed to do. I was, tithing, giving offering, and doing everything that I knew to do. But then I was not seeing the reward of doing that.
Yes.
It was not there. Now, the thing is, people respond differently to scenarios like that, because I've met people who say, no. Like, I got tired, I stopped tithing.
Yes.
But the word of God says you should. Now, the thing is, if it says me, I'll do it.
Yes.
But if it's not working, I will not stop there.
Yeah.
I will ask God, why is it not working? Yet your word says it is going to be supposed to work.
Yes.
Then he revealed to me certain things, which I've revealed before, which I'm going to reveal even now.
Yes.
Certain things which helped me. Now, when I changed those things, then it started working. Then my financial situation started becoming better.
Yes.
And then I was feeding myself constantly with a word about finances.
Yes.
A word about prosperity, financial prosperity.
Yes.
All the time. There was not a single moment
when
I wasn't thinking prosperity, when I wasn't thinking big things.
Yes.
And so my soul was prospering, was expanding.
Yes.
Even if my physical state, nothing was changing. I was still staying in the same house, still driving no car, still looking around for money. But my soul was prospering.
Yes.
But I stayed in there. And then when the Lord revealed that to me, I actually turned around and started doing what he told me to do. And without anything else.
Yes.
You see, now the problem is people want to put it in your hands. God has put it in the power of his word.
Yes.
Now your duty is only to eat that word.
Yes.
As the scripture says, receive with meekness.
Yes.
Meekness means humility.
Yes.
Which means that you understand that you are not, you don't know all that.
Yes.
This is the word of God which has the ability to transform what you know.
Yes.
So you receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Now the implanted means the word of God is not just in the Bible, it's implanted inside you. You have to take a responsibility to plant it inside. Now that's a, you know, a very, very important portion of scripture that you read. And receive it with meekness. Because now there are people who receive it with pride, because somebody gives you a word, and now even now there are people who are receiving it like that.
Yes.
Somebody gives you a word, and you start saying, I agree with this, I don't agree with this, and you know, and so on. But then before you start agreeing and disagreeing, you first find out if you have better results than me.
Yes.
If your results are not as good as me, then you be humble.
Yes,
because I got here through humility,
yes.
through humbling, because I knew people who were seeing results,
yes,
and I was not seeing results.
Mm.
So I would say, God, why am I not seeing results? Yet your word is true. And your word does not fail.
Yes.
So why is it not working for me? And God will always answer such questions.
Yes.
Because you are asking from a place of faith.
Yes.
I believe in your word.
Yes.
I believe that you're faithful.
Mm.
Your word is true. But I'm not seeing results. So now tell me, where am I going wrong?
Yes.
I can assure you, anyone who asks that question will get an answer.
Yes.
There is no doubt God will ask a question
yes.
like that.
Very
now,
true.
So that's the first thing.
Yes.
A word.
Word.
What's the other thing you mentioned?
A song.
A song.
Yes.
Tell us.
Now, every day, your life runs on actually a song which you sing
which
in
is
your heart.
Inside you.
Yes, which is inside you. And that song, there's this scripture which says, singing and making melodies to the Lord. And that actually will always remind you of the greatness of God. Because if you read the Psalms and the book of Psalms, which majorly speaks about singing hymns and psalms to the Lord, all those words, those songs, they are there to bless the Lord and to magnify the Lord and make your heart merry. Now, in that, you will always know the goodness of God. You'll always be around the blessing of the Lord. You'll have that awareness, that consciousness, that knowledge. And that is very, very good for your soul, because it will not crack your soul. It will not make your heart and your soul like sick. The way the Bible says that there are sometimes that can be sick because you're not seeing any purpose, you're not seeing any direction. But with a song, you will always be singing to Him. Will always actually you can actually get it, because it's still your own duty to get it personally, what you are supposed to sing to the Lord.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, which means that actually everybody has a song they are singing some stage.
Yes.
It can be you can go and listen to some secular song.
Yes.
In a secular song. Maybe even you're passing somewhere.
Yes.
And I remember when I started taking this thing seriously, I would be, there was a time I was jogging, running past a place.
Yes.
And then there was a song that I liked, which was playing in the background.
Yes.
Then I went such a distance down the road, and I realized that my soul had picked up on the song.
Yes.
And I was now singing the
singing
song
the
inside
same song.
My soul.
Yes.
As I was jogging.
Yes.
Then I said, but this is not the song I want to sing. So what I did, I deliberately replaced it
with another song,
with a worship song.
Yes.
Now I got a worship song, and now started singing the worship song loudly until it blocked out the other song.
Yes.
And then eventually, when I reached my final destination after finishing my evening jog, I found that actually the song that was in my spirit is the one I wanted.
Yes.
In my soul is the one I wanted.
Yes.
Everybody, I'll tell you, everybody who is walking out there has a song that is singing inside them.
Yes.
The question is, what is the song ministering to them?
Uh-huh.
It can be ministering, you know, joy. It can be ministering joy in a way, happiness. It can be ministering whatever, or it can be ministering praise. It can be ministering worship. It can be. Now, your soul will go in the direction of the word that you're carrying.
Yes.
And the song that you're carrying.
Yes.
For instance, if somebody comes and tells you a word that, you know, as I said, the government does not care about the people of, let's say, Northern Uganda.
Yes.
Then now your soul picks that up. Then you start meditating on it.
Yes.
Getting even examples. Because even the other day,
yes.
you see even how many ministers are from our place.
Yes.
The other day, even this. Now you actually are meditating. That is called meditation.
Yes.
You see, even the other day, this minister died. The other day, even this one died. The other day, and they were not even replaced. Well, then you'll pass somewhere and somebody will be singing, let's say, an anti-government. I'm giving you an example.
Yes, yes.
And that is coming from me, who is anti-government. You know, but I know how to apportion my life properly. Now we are talking about the word of God.
Yes.
Now you'll get a song which will actually minister to what you're already
building on.
Yes.
The word.
Yes.
You're meditating.
And now, from there on, you're actually going in a certain direction.
Mm.
And now usually it is a direction of wasting time. Because if you had taken time to say that, where is this? Okay, I'm angry with this person. And he did something which was not good to me.
Mm.
But where is this taking me? If I continue meditating on it, where is it taking me? Is it taking me where I want to be? Or is it taking me in a place where I'm going to just be bitter, angry, and nothing happens in a state like that?
Yes.
So when you choose that the direction you want to go, then you will choose what song you want to be playing inside you.
Yes.
Now it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Okay?
Yes.
Which brings out this thing very well. It says that, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay?
Yes.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I actually realized one thing some time ago. I realized that when I would spend a lot of time in the word, and I would actually be going thinking about things which are in the word, you know, just meditating on things in the word, trying to find out, you know, meditation is can be so many things. It can be trying to understand. It can be repeating something which you understand. But it can also be trying to find out, what did Jesus mean when he said this?
Yes.
He said this. Then when you start asking, now your soul picks up on that. And your spirit starts giving you answers. Then he says, you see, even there, in the other scripture, he said this. So you might be, now you're actually meditating. And you see, now, I realize when I would be meditating deeply in the word of God, all the songs that I would naturally find myself singing would be songs of praise and worship. So I would wake up in the morning when I slept at night, when I'm thinking on the word of God. And then I go to sleep. And then I wake up, and the first song that comes out is praise. Now, of course, that is not always the case. If you go to bed when your mind is on something else, you'll wake up with another kind of song altogether, which is good nowadays. But of course, everybody can does that every once in a while. But what you do, just try not to make it linger in your mind. Think away from it. So the soul, we are telling you how the soul prospers. Because according to this scripture, God wishes above all things that you prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers. Now, how we're telling you how your soul prospers. Number one, have a word. It can even be the word they preached on Sunday, which touched you. And you feed on it the whole week. That very word. Now it is getting deeper and deeper inside you. And when it gets deep inside you, it actually produces results. Okay? I told you the kingdom of the world operates on buying and selling. The kingdom of God operates on sowing and reaping. Now, when I say sowing and reaping, the reason I didn't want to say it at the beginning is people would think you're talking about sowing money. That is true, but that's not all. Actually, more important is sowing the word of God inside your spirit. And getting it inside there. Now that you're sowing a seed. Because the word of God is seed. Okay? And God gives you a word. He gives you something in the form of seed. Remember the parable of the sower? What did Jesus say afterwards? That the sower sows the word. So now, the sower sows seed, and Jesus said the sower sows the word. So the word is seed. Now, seed given to one person can be of value one way or the other. And somebody will get to the seed and eat it. Okay? And then it is dead. Another one will get it and sow it. And then it will multiply. Another one will get it and throw it somewhere. Or another one will plant it in ground which is not good and it does not. Anyhow, so you've known your soul prospers on a word, on a song. And the third one you said?
It's on a purpose.
Explain.
Now, each and every single day, there is something which we are supposed to be doing towards the kingdom of God, towards the purpose which God has given us. Now, what your soul needs is a purpose. And that purpose is that which drives you actually to accomplish the whole game plan of the Lord. Because one of the things which you can do is you can just get idle. And that's when your soul will be taken over by something which you are not supposed to be. And actually can actually lead you into something which the Lord doesn't want you to. So, your soul needs a purpose. And that purpose, because now when you have now a song, you have a word, and you are carried on with that word, then the next thing is a purpose, something where you are now driving towards to accomplish something which you know that maybe now this is what the Lord has given me. Maybe this is the will of the Lord, which he has given me to do. Maybe this is where I feel the leading of the Spirit taking me to. Then that's where you drive yourself into. And that purpose will eventually, because if you carry on with these three, said a song, a word, and then a purpose, at a period of time, the benefits or the product will come out.
So, in other words, even if you have a song and you have a word, if you wake up at home and you just sit and cross your legs and there's nothing that you're pursuing, you become useless. Even your word might not have, you know. And now a purpose depends on what you do. Now, in my case, like, for instance, the purpose has always been to awaken the church, which is the words the Lord told me,
yes.
to awaken the church to the reality of the soon return of the Lord,
yes.
and also the other thing of the sons of Israel, a word understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do.
Yes.
Now, when I come and teach something here today, I'm not teaching it because I know about it or because I feel that I have some knowledge I want to pass on that subject. I teach it because I know that's what Israel ought to know at this time.
Yes.
Now, the word I'm teaching right now is a word that you ought to have in you right now.
Yes.
And I don't just get it. I get it from the Lord. So now, my purpose has always been to do that.
Yes.
So now, when I wake up, when I have a word, when I have a song, I am thinking, what am I doing in the direction of
to
this?
What?
And of course, I have other purposes, which the Lord has also given me. But purpose depends on what you are.
Yes.
For instance, if you're a businessman, you can say my purpose is to build my business beyond Kampala.
Yes.
I want to be supplying these things to Mbale, to Jinja, to, you know, Soroti,
yes.
to Guru and what. And that is what drives you because
yes.
you're a business person.
Yes.
Okay? If you're a farmer, you say I want to be producing this amount. Now, in all those purposes, you need for you to move away from this the worldly thing.
Yes.
into something that actually is breathed upon by God.
Mm.
You need the word and you need the song.
Yes.
Then you go and accomplish your purpose.
Yes.
Depending on what it is.
Mm.
You know, you can be in the transport industry and you say that I want to buy, you know, this number of transporter cars
yes.
by the end of this year. Now that's
yes.
a purpose.
Yes.
And then in that year, you're working towards making sure that by December this year, if I started my transportation business with 3 cars, by the end of this year, I should be having 15 cars.
Yes.
I'm giving an example.
Yes.
So then that's your purpose.
Yes.
Now, when you have a word and you have a song
yes,
and you have a purpose like that, by the way, even the word that you get
yes.
will be related to your
to
purpose.
Your purpose. Yes.
To your purpose. Because if you're a business person, God knows how to show you scriptures
yes.
in this Bible, which are for businessmen.
Yes.
Eh? Okay. And he'll
yes.
show you a scripture. Like, and I've seen people interpret
yes.
things differently.
Yes.
There was this guy who started TBN.
Yes.
Paul Crouch.
Yes.
Now, Paul Crouch said that he was reading the Bible.
Yes.
And then he read a scripture. Now, I'm going to read for you the scripture so that you see that God tells people things which he interprets it to
according
them,
to, you,
to the way
they are
their,
designed.
Their purpose is. Eh?
Yes.
Then he says, Isaiah 55, verse 10. That's the word he read. Before he started that TBN
yes.
television, which spread the gospel and was very powerful
yes.
and brought light in the world.
Yes.
He said, for as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread for the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Now, him, he said when he read that scripture. Now this is amazing.
Yes.
He said when he read that scripture, he says that the word of God, the way he saw it, that comes from above
yes.
and comes
yes.
to the earth
yes.
and accomplishes
yes.
that for which it is said.
Yes.
So the word that came to him is satellite TV.
Yes.
Because satellite, yes. when you speak a word, it goes into the air, okay,
yes.
and then comes down in somebody's home
yes.
in form of television.
Yeah.
So for him, he said, when he read this, he said, satellite. And that was his
yes,
purpose
yes.
all throughout his life.
Mm.
He started that powerful, you know, TV channel, which brought the gospel and so on. Now, from reading this scripture, now for you, if God is not sending you to start a TV, there is no way you can interpret this scripture
yes.
like that.
Yes.
But for him, when he explained it, how he saw it, and now that's the Holy Spirit who will
yes.
tweak the word just to suit
you.
What he has called you to do.
Yes.
And he'll give you a word which is as if it was written specifically for you.
Yes.
And I've had words like that where you read it and it's like, it's like as if God had,
yes.
when the Spirit of God was writing this, he had me in mind.
Yes.
And now, of course he did.
Yes.
But the thing is, he will show it to you. Now you'll go and show it to somebody else.
They can't see it.
They can't
yes.
see it.
Mm.
Now when I had Paul Crouch saying that, I said, but that doesn't talk about satellite.
Mm.
But now for him, he saw satellite.
Yes.
And now because he saw that, he went and he got a purpose.
Yes.
And his purpose was very beneficial to the church.
Yes.
So now this is how these things work. God will show you a word. As a farmer,
yes,
And he shows you a word. And now he's actually bringing you to a place of prosperity.
Yeah. Mm.
And remember, he's giving you a seed.
Yeah.
There is no prosperity without that seed from God.
Yes.
So one day you're reading the scripture, maybe even just reading.
Yeah.
Then a word stands out for you. And then you say, this is it.
Mm.
Then for some reason, even when you go to, you know, move on, you're thinking about it. The next day, you're thinking about it.
Mm.
And God is trying to minister something to you.
Yeah.
Now, that is the word that you should hang on to. Because if you feel it is sticking and it is not going anywhere, then you must think that the Spirit of God is trying to impress that word on you.
Yeah.
So you start meditating on it and finding out why.
Mm.
And then you have a word. Then you'll have a song.
Yes.
Then you'll have a purpose.
Yes.
Still based on. And then you'll prosper. Your soul will prosper. Then your soul will prosper.
Yes.
And now when your soul prospers, your finances prosper.
Yes, yes.
And even your health prospers.
Yes, yes.
So I hope we are making sense.
Yes, yes. Mm. So, I remember even speaking still about that of the song. Now, there were some times when I used to wake up and turn radios, and you're turning radios just in the morning. The first songs I hear, I listen to, those are the songs which actually took my whole day. Whether it being gospel or, yes, all it took my day. Until, of course, there was a time when I think earlier on, you shared this message in the radios, then I actually started making sure that it is my own duty to make sure that every song that comes, I have to cut it out. If it's the best song I want, worship song, if it's a song of praise, okay, even sometimes I could get maybe a song for a week where I said, this is my song, and just one song, and I sing to it every day. And you find that all the time, the Lord would be actually speaking to you by that song. And then, like, it builds you. That changed my perspective about songs. Because the first songs, I sleep, then after, I wake up. Now, when I listen to a song which is about maybe praise, the whole of the day, my whole day would just be in the song. All about praise and me looking at praising God. And then actually the real song would be ringing in my heart, like all the time. Now, in case maybe, like you know this, some of the times you wake up and then maybe you wake up even very early, like 5:30, then you are going maybe to town, then some other place, then I get another song.
Maybe in a taxi.
Yes,
or
maybe in a taxi. Mm. Now, that song would stick to me the whole day. So
you make sure that before you get the one in
yes,
the taxi,
yes.
You get the one at home.
Yes, at least.
Which that you have is, control.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't have control. But there was a time I would even actually tell the taxi people, switch off that.
Yes.
Until they said I have a lot of So what I decided to get headphones.
Yes,
so
yes.
Because you'd go and they are putting weird songs.
Yes.
And the songs actually minister exactly. Yes. And you don't want that message.
Yes.
Mm. Or even some people can put weird things.
Yes.
Mm. There was somebody who used to sleep with radio on at night. And now, then in the middle of the night, they bring some weird people talking weird things.
Yes.
And then they start dreaming them.
Mm.
And they don't realize that your soul and your body might be asleep, but your spirit isn't.
Yes.
So I told the person that, why do you sleep with the radio on unless you're absolutely sure of what the radio is broadcasting?
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
And I don't think there's any radio here which I'm absolutely sure of what they are broadcasting
all
the time.
Yes.
There's none.
Mm.
So either I would go and get messages of somebody whom I trust.
Yes.
So that because when you're sleeping, the message comes straight into your soul.
Yes.
Your heart actually.
Yeah, actually.
Because your mind is out of the way.
Yes.
And of course your body is asleep. But so now everything that is said in that time.
Yes.
Go straight inside you. So I remember there are people whom I used to listen to when I'm sleeping, people like Kenneth Hagin.
Yes.
Now those are people whom I trust.
Like
if he's talking when I'm, you know, sleeping, it's okay. Everything that is coming out of his mouth, I want it to enter.
Yes, it's
because,
okay.
Because I know he was a powerful man of God. And so on. Anyhow, let's leave that. So we've discussed that your soul to prosper needs a word, needs a song, and it needs a purpose. Now, everyone has a word.
Mm.
There's nobody who moves without a word.
Yes.
It might be good, it might be bad, it might be a word of anger, a word that was said about you, a word of you're angry about something that is not happening, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
And everybody once has a song, somehow the world will make sure that
you're singing.
There is a song inside your mind. Yes. And I'm not saying you're actually actively singing. It's inside your mind. Yes. And you know it yourself, you're miming it. Mm. Even when you're walking, people know that. Yes. I mean, you know yourself that there's a song inside you. And then a purpose. Now, that not everybody actually moves with the purpose.
Mm.
Many people, if you ask them what exactly is their purpose, they don't know for sure. They don't know. If you ask them, outside of material things, what do you want? Do you see yourself being 5 years from now? Most people will think in terms of material things.
Mm.
I would have finished building my house, I would be, and so on. Material things. But then that's not a purpose.
Yeah.
Actually, material things come to people who have a purpose.
Purpose, yes.
Now, and so if what... Because a purpose has to be something that is beyond you, that touches other people.
Yes, yes.
Now, so now we move away from that.
Yes.
A bit, and now we go into something which we are going to be talking about in consequent messages here, which is very important for the church right now. Now, I'm telling you how you are going to come out of a certain state.
Yes.
And come into a place where actually you are experiencing the blessings of God.
Yes.
That's very, very important. And what I'm doing here now is actually really teaching you how to get into the blessings of God. Now, remember last week I told you about a preacher who said that somebody went and he was driving with another preacher in town.
Yes.
Actually, the preacher I'm talking about is Jesse Duplantis.
Yes.
Some of you have seen him on TV and so on. So he says he was in a car with another minister of God. A pastor, and then a plane passed over them, and then Jesse Duplantis said that, do you know what the Lord has just spoken to me? The guy says, what has he told you? He said, he has just told me that one day he's going to give me a plane of my own. And they were in a car which belonged to Jesse Duplantis, and it was an old Toyota.
Yes.
So this preacher told him that, come on, first of all, you can't even get a decent car. And you're thinking about a plane.
Yes.
He said that first get a decent car and get out of this old Toyota before you actually think about getting a plane. Now, this man had not realized that God had spoken to him. And when God speaks to you, he's giving you a seed. The word of God is a seed.
Yes.
You can do whatever you want with that seed. You can plant it and nurture it and grow it, and you end up in a plane. Just like Jesse Duplantis has now.
Yes.
Actually, he has a number of them, more than just one.
Mm.
Or you can behave like this pastor and dismiss it and say, how can
you first get,
first get this? So, you, in other words, you pace God out. And the reality is that you might not get from an old Toyota straight to a plane.
Yes.
I don't think that would happen. It doesn't happen that way. But God puts in you a seed.
Yes.
So that when you meditate, when you're thinking, you're seeing yourself in a certain place. So that you don't see yourself as a small person.
Yes, yes.
And he might even tell you something which might not be a plane, but something which shows you how big you are.
Yeah.
Because of course now if he tells you that you are going to have a plane.
Yes.
And you believe that, you would know for sure that you would be a big person, because only big persons have that.
Yes.
So he's trying to expand your soul.
Yes.
Now that's what it is, expand your soul.
Yes. Yes.
Now God is the master of expanding the soul. Because when the children of Israel are in the desert, and he's telling them that it shall come to pass when they are living in tents.
Yes.
And they are eating manna, which comes every day.
Yes.
And then he tells them that these are the laws you know. When shall come to pass that when you've built great cities and dwell in them, and you plant vineyards and drink the wine of it, and you know, you do this, and your harvest is plentiful.
Yes.
And where he's telling them they cannot even plant anything, they
right.
are depending on manna. But he's expanding their soul, telling them that this is not the end of it, this is just a journey. Now, that's what he's trying to say. Don't worry, this is a journey.
Yes.
And then he's talking to you about things which are ahead. Now, the purpose of him doing that is so that your soul receives them.
Yeah.
And then you start meditating on them.
Yes.
And so do you bring them to pass.
Yes.
If he tells you about what is there right now, you don't need that.
No.
You're already experiencing it.
Mm.
He will tell you what's ahead.
Fire.
You're in the desert. You are eating food which falls from heaven, but he tells you when you've planted wheat in plenty and your harvest is full, and you've planted vineyards and you're drinking the wine thereof, and you've built great cities. And you say, which city? We are living here in tents. That's how God works.
Yes.
I'll give you another. And I'm telling people this because I'm setting the foundation for something.
Yes.
Abraham is struggling to have a child.
Yes.
He doesn't have a child. Mm. And God is telling him about descendants. Mm. Now, if you don't know that about God, you will miss him completely.
Very much. He is
not going to change for you. God does not change.
Mm.
Malachi 3:6.
Mm.
I am the Lord, I change not.
Mm.
You have to change to fit into him if you want to see his blessing.
Yes.
You know, there are some people who think that if they cry and what, they are going to change God. He does not change.
Mm.
He has given us everything that we need. There is nothing God still has to give.
Mm.
Nothing. It's not in his nature.
Mm.
He starts creation and creates everything that man will need before he creates man.
Yes.
Now imagine if he had created man first. Then I need air to breathe. Then God says, okay, let me make air. Now I need food. Okay, let me make the plants. Now, no, he first did everything Adam needed.
Yes.
Then he put Adam. Now Adam, when God created him, everything Adam would ever need was there. Now that's where we are.
Mm.
That's why Christ said, now everything we need is in these words we are ministering here.
Yes.
I wish you take them. Everything. There is nothing you can imagine that you need that is not in these words.
Yes.
Of the scripture. Abraham doesn't have a child. God is telling him about descendants.
Mm.
That is how God works. That is how he works.
Mm.
He wants you to see. He says, you see the stars, you see the sand, so shall your descendants be.
Mm.
Now, and the scripture says, Abraham did not waver in faith.
Yes.
Okay. He believed God.
Mm.
Even when there was not,
for him,
he just, in other words, what he did is he just got the word of God and said, if God said this, it is going to be the case.
Yes.
Now, how many people would do that today? They would say, God, okay.
First do this.
Descendants would be good. Mm. But can I first have at least one child? Now you've missed it. You've missed it. Because God wants you to see the descendants before you see the one child.
Yeah.
Now, when you see the descendants, the one child becomes easy. Now, let's move on from there. So, it's very important for people to know that the word of God is a seed.
Yes.
And what you do with that seed is going to determine where you're going to be.
Yes.
At some stage.
Mm.
Because now imagine that that man was a pastor who was telling Jesse to plant. God cannot give you what?
Mm.
A plane.
Yes.
When you have an old Toyota.
Yes.
Now, which means he's not, obviously he's not a man of faith.
Yes.
Obviously he does not know how God works.
Yes.
He doesn't know that God wants you to first conceive a plane in your mind.
Yes.
Before it comes in reality.
Yes.
But he's a pastor. Which means there are people whom he speaks to who also believe like him.
Yes, yes.
Now, you think those people are ever going to see big things?
No.
No, because they are listening to words of defeat.
Yes.
Now, you can be in a place, in a city.
Mm.
A city can be anything.
Yes.
Surroundings.
Mm.
A church.
Mm.
I hope none of the people who are listening are in such a church, but you can be.
Mm.
Where, or even like a piece of friendships and what, where people will never conceive what you see.
Mm.
And they will always pull you down, pull your faith down, and you will not see anything that the Lord wants you to see. Now, there's a scripture in Mark chapter 8, Jesus healing somebody. But the way he healed him was very interesting. Verse 22, Mark chapter 8, verse 22, he says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything, everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now Bethsaida, remember what Jesus said about Bethsaida?
Bethsaida.
Because if the works that had been done in you had been done in Sodom. Now, there is a city called Bethsaida, which is full of unbelief that even Jesus cannot heal somebody in Bethsaida.
Yes.
He has to first take him. Okay, you want me to heal the person. Now, the others, Jesus has not need to take you out of the city to heal you. But this one, when you're surrounded by unbelief, I'm telling you, if that man is your pastor, you will never believe God for big things.
Yeah.
Because you're, if the people who are like, who are with you are like him, I think, because they are feeding from him.
Yes.
Now, Jesus had to take the man out of town. and say, okay, I'm going to heal you, but not here.
Mm.
Because here, this place is surrounded with unbelief.
Mm.
Now, people don't know that.
Mm.
That when you're surrounded with unbelief, your dreams die.
Yes, yes.
Your dreams die. You can't see.
Mm.
Now, this man couldn't see. You know, eh?
Yes.
Now, you can look at the seeing
yes.
in different ways. He was blind, actually,
yes.
in the eyes.
Mm.
But it can also mean seeing powerful things.
Yes.
Mm.
So, it's like also speaking about atmosphere.
Yes.
Why? Because there are places where you are only seeing defeat, you are only seeing negativity, you are downcast, where all the time your soul is broken down and you're not seeing any progress, anything of praise. And that's why sometimes it's good for people to come in the presence of God where there is praise and you're hearing testimonies, you're hearing a good thing that lifts up your soul and makes you your eyes to actually begin to see. Atmospheres, this is very, very key, because there are places where you just get there and you feel like...
Yeah, and I've been to places like that.
Yes.
Where they call you. Now, I've been to other places, of course, where they call you and you feel the presence of God.
Yes.
And you know that even if the people there might not know the fullness of the word.
Yes.
And especially the word on how they can prosper and what. But you see, they sense the presence of
yes.
God.
Yes.
Now, there are places where you go and it is dead.
Mm.
You just sense death.
Mm.
And by dead, I don't mean that they are not born again. They are born again.
Mm.
But if you cannot see.
Mm.
You see, Jesus took him aside and out of the city. And even when he did things which other people would immediately
yes.
see, the man said, I can only see men like trees. Now, I'm telling you, like, in other words, he took him out of Bethsaida, but the man still had Bethsaida inside him.
Yes.
So you can take a man out of a place,
yes.
but taking the place out of a man.
Man.
So now the man still had Bethsaida inside
yes.
him. So even when Jesus touched him, he said, I'm seeing men like trees now. But you see, after healing, that's the most important thing. He said, don't go back to that place.
Yes.
Because you can go back there.
Yes, and
you lose your sight.
No, tell anyone.
And then he said, don't even tell them. There are people whom you do not tell what God is telling you.
Yes.
Now, like if this pastor, now if I know somebody is like that,
yes.
and God tells me something powerful,
mm.
I do not tell him, because he's going to bring it. First of all, when God has just told you, you also try to bring yourself
yes,
to believe
that.
It, to see it.
Mm.
Then you go and tell a fool. Then the fool says, what? Doing this,
then
says, no, it's not possible. And the person can pull you down.
Mm.
And then the next thing you see, somebody was now seeing clearly.
Yes.
Now you go back to seeing men like trees.
Yes.
The next minute you're blind.
Yes.
So Jesus said, don't go back to that.
Yes.
And by the way, it can even mean don't go back to that church.
Mm.
Because there are places where you look and see, in this place, there is no way somebody is going to come out of here and be big.
Yes.
Because you can see the word they feed on is defeat.
Yes.
There's they don't like defeat.
Mm.
And it can be, even if the person left and went away.
Yes.
And I've attended such places like that where I had to leave.
Mm.
I left.
Yes.
Then I started seeing big things.
Mm.
Then I started seeing them, first of all, in my spirit.
Yes.
In my heart.
Yes.
Then I started seeing them in actuality.
Mm.
And now when you go back there, you look at the people. And say, if I even dared step back here as a member in this place, everything I've seen will disappear.
Yeah.
Somebody was seeing clearly. Now I'm seeing clearly everything that God is doing in my life.
Mm.
The next minute, you're seeing men like trees.
Mm.
The next minute,
you are blind.
You're blind. And now some people have to listen to this.
Yeah. Mm.
It comes to a time where don't go back there.
Mm.
Don't tell anyone there.
Yes.
Because why does Jesus have to pull you out of the city to heal you?
Mm.
Jesus. Because he knows the city is full of unbelief.
Yes.
And he knows this here, a miracle to happen. You first come. If you want a miracle, let's get out of this place.
Mm.
So there are places where your vision is going to be totally obscured.
Mm-hmm.
And please, if you realize that you're in a place. I remember there was a gentleman whom I know is a powerful musician. But a man of God, born again, and so on. So I met him in a certain place, a church,
yes,
where he was respected and so on and everything. Then they would call him to come and sing, and then he comes and sings and so on. Then after some time, I met him again, and I asked him, do you still go to that place? I was just asking. I wasn't implying anything.
Yes.
I was just asking a question the way you know.
Yeah.
He told me, no, I stopped going there. So I told him why. He said, because we go to church to fellowship. Now, I realized that I had no fellowship with most of the people there.
Mm.
Because the things I was trying to see, none of them see them.
Mm.
For them, they are all looking at, give me 2,000 shillings, I don't have transport. Now, it's okay to give, I know that.
Yeah.
But you know, even in amidst extreme poverty, if you decide that you want to see, you can see.
Yes.
And if you see, you will see.
Yes.
You know, eh?
Mm.
You can see anything. I mean, because the Spirit of God inside you has the ability to show you great things.
Yes.
And you only have to perceive them inside your spirit, inside your heart.
Yes.
And your soul will start prospering.
Yes.
Now, how do you know your soul is prospering? When you start talking of big things which you don't have.
Yes.
Like there was a time I would be talking big things. I'm saying the kind of house that I want has to have a swimming pool, has to have what? And if somebody from Bethsaida had me saying that, they would say, you're a fool.
Hey.
You're paying rent of 150K and you're talking about a house with a swimming pool. But me, I wasn't, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a member of Bethsaida. Me, I see big things.
Yes, yes.
So now you don't tell people like that you think.
Yes.
So I was seeing them in my heart.
Yeah.
And they were seeing them, seeing big things. And I had no right whatsoever to even imagine anything like that. I had no right. The only right I had is that the Spirit of God is inside me.
Yes.
And he is making me see that I'm bigger than what I am.
Yeah.
I'm bigger than this. Now, I'll tell you this. In that place, I was paying 30K.
Yes.
A month. That's quite some years ago. In that place, some of the people who were there are still there. And some of them, come to me and, you know, help us here and there. But they're still there. The difference between me and them is I did not let the place get to me.
Yes.
Even if I was momentarily in Bethsaida,
yes,
I did not let Bethsaida get inside me.
Yes, yes.
I said I might be here because this is where my financial situation, currently, permits me to be. But I'm not going to become a member of this Bethsaida.
Yeah.
Eh. Mm. So my mind was outside of Bethsaida.
Mm.
So when I stepped away from there, something cuts
off.
Yes, yes. And you know you've never belonged there.
Yes.
Now there are people who enter Bethsaida and they enjoy it and they become citizens. They even become LC1 chairman in Bethsaida. Now, LC2 chairman in Bethsaida. Now, even if Jesus tries to pull you away, you say, I want to stay here because this is what I know. Don't get attached to a place which is full of unbelief.
Now, there is one thing which I feel it's very important for all of us, like believers in this time, in this end time, should know. Because God has done everything which He's supposed to do. He has done it already for you. And because He has done it, He just requires you to step out by faith. And that faith is hidden in the Word. And that Word, like the way we have been saying, you just get the Word. And when you get the Word, you begin to meditate on the Word. You begin to imagine and see yourself in that fulfilled point. And when you do that, you activate the power in the Word. And actually, that's what scripture we read first in 3 John 2, which says that, beloved, I pray that you prosper. So at that point when you are doing all that, your imaginations are changing, your thinkings are changing, everything, even your faith, your belief, what you believe you can do. How your perspectives about life has shifted according to the Word, because God had already done it.
Do you know that God is actually saying, I wish? You know, which means it's not in His hands.
Yes.
Now, if you think it's in His hands, then you've missed it. Because for Him, He says, I wish, beloved, I wish above all things. Now, God is saying, He wishes.
Yes.
Which means if it was up to Him,
He wouldn't wish. Yes.
But it's up to you.
Yes.
And now for you, He cannot change.
No.
If you've decided to be an unbeliever,
yes,
an unbelieving believer,
yes,
He cannot change that.
Yes.
But He can only wish.
Yes.
That I wish you would believe how big you are. I wish you would believe that you can have a powerful this. I wish you would believe that I've called you to the nations. I wish above all things that you would believe. Now, He is powerless.
Yes.
It is all up to you
to
do what God wishes.
Yes.
Now, I want you to see that, because that's, I think what you're saying.
Yes.
Because imagine God wishes. If they ask God, what do you wish? if you met God and say, you are all powerful and almighty. Mm. What do you wish? They say, I wish above all things that Akena would see how powerful he is.
Yes.
Then you say, what? That if he's powerful, then why don't you make him powerful? No,
yes.
It's not up to me. It is up to him.
Yes.
He's the one who cannot, he's the only one who can make it happen.
Yes. Like, he has done everything. He has done everything which you want. Like, even like what you've spoken earlier, that God did create everything Adam wanted or needed. And then lastly, brought him. So now, the only thing in this time that we have in Christ is that everything has been done in Christ, and it is our faith. And that faith is actually how we see ourselves, what we believe, and what we see about the fulfilled word of God.
Our seed,
yes,
how we take his word as a seed,
seed,
and how we plant that seed, and how we nurture that seed,
yes,
and how we see that seed give forth,
yes,
fruit.
Yes.
That is all up to us.
Yes.
It is all up to us. Let me end by reading the first Psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, of the Lord. Now, like the word of God.
Yes.
And in his word, okay, it says law, but in his word, he meditates day and night.
Yes.
Then he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does
shall prosper.
Whatever he does. Whose power is it in? Not God's. It is yours.
Yeah.
He says, blessed is the man who... And he says, in other words, who does not sit in the unfaithful... In other words, who does not dwell in Bethsaida, where people have no faith.
Yes,
they don't believe God can make some pull somebody from the dust and sit in with what? With princes. They don't believe that.
Yes.
So even Jesus has to take you away. No. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. And he says, whatever he does shall prosper.
Prosper.
Now, that's a powerful promise. Powerful promise. Whatever you can choose, I want to be this, it will prosper. I want to be this, it will prosper. Let me start farming, prosper.
Prosper.
Let me start businesses in cars, prosper. Prosper. Let me start this, prosper. And it is all about
inside.
Inside you. You do not sit in this in the counsel of the ungodly. What do the ungodly say? No. God cannot give you a plane when you have an old Toyota.
Yeah.
That is the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
All things like that, you know. And some of you have had those things.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we have to stop here. But now, I want you to understand one thing. If you have a testimony, please send it to the numbers that are going to be given. Send it either by WhatsApp or by text message if you do not have WhatsApp. We want to know, because God is moving heavily in the area of healing.
Yes.
And I want to teach you how to get healing for yourself. And there is a very, very easy way you can do it.
Yes.
Okay? And that is by speaking to the sickness in you.
Yes.
And commanding it in the name of Jesus to depart. I'll tell you this. Everything has a name. Your sickness has a name.
Yes.
And everything that has a name has to bow down to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because he was given a name that is above every name.
Yes.
So the name of Jesus is above every name,
whether
of a sickness, even of something.
Yes.
Okay? There was a time I used to have pain in my leg, you know.
Yes.
So now I learned that I can actually command the pain, speak to the pain.
Yes.
Now, last night it started coming back, and I felt exactly the symptoms the way it was. Then I said, you pain, in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to the pain.
Yes.
It has a name, so it will listen. I say, pain, in the name of Jesus, stop right now. And then it stopped immediately.
Amen.
Then it tried to come back, and I just thanked God. I said, no, it has gone. It's not there. Then it left. Otherwise, I would be limping. Now, I know. Like, so I just speak to it now. I want everybody who is sick, I want you to say, you cancer, you have a name.
Yes.
Your name is cancer. And your name has to bow down to the name of Jesus. Now I speak to you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. And I command you to get out of my body and be gone right now. I speak to you, pain. I speak to you, whatever sickness.
Yes.
I command you in the name of Jesus. Don't speak to God. Speak to the problem.
Yes.
Exactly what it is. Speak to the disease.
Mm.
You say, does it hear? It hears.
Yes.
Anything that has a name,
yes.
it will hear.
Yeah, yes.
So don't worry about that. You
yes.
just do that.
Yeah.
So now I want everybody who is sick
yes.
to do what I'm telling you right now
mm.
and say, I speak to this sickness.
Mm.
I command you,
pain,
say, as if disease, I command you,
yes,
ulcers,
yes,
to be dried up from my
yes,
body
mm.
right now in Jesus' name.
Mm.
I command you to go. Now, after you've done that, you have to take an act of faith, sometimes take a step of faith.
Yes.
So if you couldn't walk, start walking, whatever,
mm.
because faith without actions is dead.
Yes.
So now do it, and then there's a time I spoke to allergies.
Yes.
People were allergic to milk.
Yes.
They call it lactose intolerance.
Yes.
And I commanded it to leave.
Yes.
All the people who had lactose intolerance, who went and drank milk afterwards, all of them were healed.
Mm.
Those who decided that they are still scared, they remained with their lactose intolerance.
Yes.
You see, because sometimes you need to have
action. Yes.
So now those who said I'm healed, what?
Mm.
Went and took milk, and now there's no problem. I'm sure now they're enjoying their milk.
Yes, yes.
And so on.
I know one.
You know one? Eh?
Yes.
Okay. Now, so now, the thing is, speak to the problem. I'm teaching you how to administer healing. And say, you headache, you migraines. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my body. I command you head, any pain in the head, stop right now and be gone out of my head and don't come back in Jesus' name. Just do that. And then you send us a testimony and tell us what exactly happened. Do it the way I've told you.
Mm.
Eh? Speak to the sickness as if it is hearing you, as
yes.
if it is a person
mm.
hearing you, and tell it to go.
Mm.
Jesus did that. I'll
yes.
tell you when and where, but now we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare, The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.